Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Suzanne McQueen. She is a career entrepreneur and an author. Suzanne and I will be discussing her latest book, Four Seasons in 4 Weeks, Awakening the Power, Wisdom, and Beauty in Every Woman's Nature. The book decodes the women's cycle so you can live well, make smart decisions, and get your man to make the right moves at the right time. Good morning, Suzanne. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Good morning, Johnny. Great to be here.
Wonderful. It is a pleasure to have you on the air with me. Four Seasons in 4 Weeks is a very insightful book. The knowledge you shared are very inspiring. The artworks are amazing. And the book is very well organized and beautifully written. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a long process, but a really enjoyable one. So I'm super happy with the results. Yeah, it's a beautiful book, if I do say so myself, all color-coded and almost 60 images in there. And so it's a very beautiful book to hold. Yeah.
Wonderful. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Boy, everybody's life story is probably pretty convoluted. So the short version, I guess, would be that, I was born in Honolulu, but raised in Southern California in the 60s and 70s, close to the beach. I could get on the roof of my house and watch the Disneyland fireworks. It was a really fun place to grow up. I lived a typical life for the kids in my area. We never moved. I went to the same elementary school, junior high, and high school, and I'm still close with some of my friends from kindergarten. Like most of the kids I grew up with, I sort of liked to do it all. I was the head cheerleader. I partied a lot, and I was into academics. You know, I went to a lot of concerts of the greatest bands ever during that time period. After high school, I went to Cal State Fullerton, and then I moved north to Big Sur, California, where I ended up marrying and having 2 kids, and also decided to cut hair there because there was a need for that in the area, and it was an artistic thing for me to do, and I just ended up loving it. After 8 years, we moved up to Ashland, Oregon, where I live now. So I've been here over 26 years, and I eventually had a 3rd kid here. And in Ashland, I owned 2 small salons, and then I built the first and largest day spa here, and I had a very large staff. We became experts of the client experience and the healing arts, I think. And we received Service Business of the Year Award, which was a huge, huge honor. I was also president of Women Entrepreneurs of Oregon in the 1990s. And I sold my business in 2003 and began writing, at first, a business series. It wouldn't be until a few years later that I would actually change directions with that and start writing 4 Seasons in 4 Weeks.
Interesting. You have basically flavored a whole lot of experiences over the years. What life epiphanies led you to go on a personal spiritual journey?
Well, you know, I think I've always been on a spiritual journey ever since I was a kid, and I think I've always been super interested in psychology and spirituality. But during the time that I had my day spa, I began going deeper into finding happiness because I was working all the time. I was really working 24/7. I had a baby at home. I had a large staff. My marriage was just sort of okay. And I just started diving deeper into really trying to find alignment, I think. I didn't really realize that's what it was at the time, but because I was in a healing environment again, I've always been surrounded by healers and people who are really going deeper and investigating life's mysteries into growing and wanting to become more and tapping into our human potential. Yeah.
Were your family in Hawaii, were they spiritual in some ways? Being that the Hawaiian are pretty much laid back, so to speak.
Right. No, I mean, you know, I was born in Hawaii, but I was raised in Southern California, so that's where my family ended up living. We moved to Southern California when I was a baby. And so my family was in Southern California. But I would say, no. I mean, they were spiritual in their own ways. They had their own religious beliefs. You know, they had their religious beliefs, I would say. But they were not on the same sort of spiritual journey that I was on at all. No, yeah, not at all. I mean, I was the far-out person in the family always. Always. Yeah. After a while, I feel like that was kind of okay. They just sort of accepted that I was sort of the... I'm not sure it was the black sheep in the family. I wouldn't say that, but I would say my dad used to call me the free spirit. Let's say that.
yeah. Interesting. Can you enlighten us about your affiliation with the Lakota community?
Right. Well, you know, to be honest, I don't really have much of one. I am the the keeper of a medicine bowl that was gifted to me by a Lakota woman. And and the reason why this came about is that I can't tell you why I began doing water ceremonies. Perhaps it was an extension of my day spa days, seeing how people are drawn to water and how healing that can be. So I began setting up a bowl at gatherings and asking people to go to the bowl to bless the earth and find flow in their lives. I've always used symbolism to really take myself into those places of being centered, and I find that it helps other people to do the same. So I was asked to take this water ceremony to a powwow 5 years ago. A Lakota man asked me to take it to his powwow, and he asked me actually to open the powwow with talking about this water ceremony. I would have it set up there. And it was just last year that one of the Lakota women who was at the powwow asked to see me. And she honored me for bringing this medicine to the people. And one thing led to another, and she gifted me her medicine bowl, which she had been doing ceremonies and healings with, and gave me instructions that if I accepted this gift, that it was a great responsibility, and how I needed to keep going with it, and that I needed to actually travel with it and set it up. And actually, she liked the work that I was doing as far as women's natural rhythms. And so that's my affiliation. The ceremony that I do is not Lakota or Native American. Mm-hmm. It's my own ceremony, but the woman who gifted the bowl to me is Lakota.
I see. Well, water is one of the natural elements of healing and cleansing and purification, and that's one of the reasons why I'm just interested in finding out a little bit more about your affiliation with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that I think being born in Honolulu, even though I wasn't raised there, I really feel that that might be where I first started feeling this indigenous nature of mine. And by indigenous nature, I really feel like that's an earth spirit alignment, something that's connected to all. To me, it's a vaster, bigger picture. For me, it's something that I resonate with for seeing the bigger picture and feeling like everything that I'm actually in this spiritual journey, that I actually am seeing the spirituality or feeling it in everything. I mean, it's kind of not a big deal to me in the sense that it's just kind of the way that I see things and feel things. But having these ceremonies and the water, as you know, really holds, well, it's been shown that it really, it shows us how what we say to each other, what we say to the water, what we say when we're around water, that it changes the molecules in the water. So the water really teaches us how we're treating each other and how we're treating the earth and what we can do and how we can change the vibration of everything around us.
Right. So true. What is the feminine rhythm?
Well, the feminine rhythm are the four phases within a woman's monthly hormonal cycle. It's really nothing more than that. What I call the feminine rhythm is really, I guess, an enlightened view of the female cycle. And we can get into, you know, I can break that down also,
I
know, as we go.
The way you tied everything into the four seasons in 4 weeks is fascinating. So how did you discover that aspect?
Well, I began tracking my own cycle in the late 90s when I was, you know, when I had my day spa, when I had this child at home, when I was just overworked and overwhelmed, and I found myself just really needing to figure something out. And it just occurred to me, it was very unlikely that I would track my cycle because I never felt that my hormones had anything to do with what made me tick. And the reason why that is, I think, is because society treats women so poorly around their cycles. It's all very negative. It's such a threat. And women have started taking that on and believe that, and that's what's passed down to us. So I didn't like that reputation for women. I didn't like the fact that we couldn't get a woman president in because, you know, she might possibly push the button during the wrong week or any of that kind of stuff, and it's very offensive. So I never wanted to do that, but I decided it occurred to me to start tracking my cycle. And so I began tracking it, and here's the other thing that I need to throw in there is throughout my entire life, I've always gotten what people call downloads. I'm very visual, and I have a tendency to all of a sudden get a download of information that's a very big picture in my head. And so while I was looking over my notes when I was tracking my cycle, I had the epiphany. I mean, I could just see it, the layout of exactly how the entire female monthly rhythm, the female hormonal rhythm, how it all works was presented to me in just a nanosecond. I was shown a remarkable navigational system that lives within women from the time they're born until their until the time they die, but surfaces during their reproductive years to show them the blueprint of this navigational system and how when we're in alignment with this system, how everything falls into place.
That's very interesting. What you have put together in the book, I have to tell you, I mean, it's very well organized and it walks someone through the whole process. Most importantly, it's sort of what I gather is more of like bringing things to order in terms of understanding and associations with the things that you're feeling and with nature as one. And most importantly, hey, it's okay the way you feel the way you feel.
That's right. That's right. It's actually very normal the way that you feel. And so what I do is I make the hormones relevant to our daily lives. We've really only been taught, I mean, all of us, men and women both, we learn about the hormones in biology class. And then women end up looking them up a little bit more. Now that we have Google, you look them up because, you know, you have some issue going on. And it still explains it kind of the same way. It explains it in this scientific way that, you know, that when you get down, I mean, none of us are stupid. We can get what it's saying. It's just that it doesn't relate to what's going on in our day-to-day lives. And it really is a mind-body-spirit experience. And we've only really been taught the body part. We've been taught the biological hormones. And what I talk about, what I was shown, again, was how that relates. So I'm really talking about the psychological journey that we walk through, and I'm talking about the primal wisdom that comes through. And what that ends up doing is that when we understand how the hormones, what the hormones are doing and how they affect us, we're able to compensate every day for to find balance, and we're able to be in alignment.
Well, two things. Number one is, you had mentioned before, often things happen, we use the word misunderstood because it's easy to dismiss someone or the situation and so forth. What you're talking about is, hey, we are in complete control because as we know where we are at on a chart, we can manage our lifestyle.
That's right, because this is a very logical, predictable sequence. There is no mystery here. This is we've been told for so long that we can't be understood, that we're changing our minds all the time, that we're crazy. You know, I mean, we have been told that for generations. That's what gets passed down to women, and they still feel it today. 77% of cycling women feel that this is such a drag, that their whole that this is something that gets in the way of their life. 50% would like to get rid of their cycle altogether. And what this says is that we've not been taught actually what's powerful about it, that this is actually a superpower that we actually possess. And when we get in alignment with it, it changes everything.
Right. Harnessing the right energy at the right time makes a whole lot of difference versus combating it in any way you can and not understand.
That's right.
Very
interesting. That's right.
In what ways is The Four Seasons in 4 Weeks different from other books about women's cycle?
Well, it's really just about, I make it non-technical, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about the biological hormones, of course, because this whole book is based on that. But I don't get into to the technicalities too much. I just really explain, look, this is what's happening here. Your hormones are laying low right here, and so that means you need to rest. That means you need to lay low.
Right.
You know, there are different things that it keeps telling us. And so I use, instead of really using scientific jargon around it, I use symbolism. I talk about the four seasons, I use moon phases, and I use archetypes to help move through each of these phases in order to just remember how it goes and to have something to relate to. And that's what makes it very different.
Wonderful. Were there challenges in writing the book?
The only challenges that I had was that it took so long. I honestly thought this book would take 2 months to write, but it took 7 years. I had actually tracked my own cycle for 7 years before ever deciding to write about this. Actually, I didn't intend on writing about this book. I think I was given the download, basically, of the information, and I started tracking, and in no time I discovered how incredibly accurate this system was. But I think I resisted the assignment, so to speak, to get out and talk about it. And because, you know, I just didn't, the female cycle was not my background. It wasn't, certainly it wasn't what I wanted to get out there and talk about, for all the reasons of actually why it needed to be talked about. I mean, I didn't want to talk about it either, you know. But at the same time, I did start talking to a few people about it, and it ended up being a guy friend of mine at a class reunion who said something actually really derogatory about his wife's PMS. I kind of straightened him out on that. And and then, you know, told him, I said, listen, I'm going to send you an email with my little system here, and I sent it to him, and I thought he would just tell me it was ridiculous and, you know, too far out and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he ended up writing back, and this is a brilliant guy, a super brilliant guy, and he ended up writing back and said, he just said, oh my gosh, I totally get that. Is that what you're writing about? And I said at the time, well, no, I'm writing a business series. And he said, well, you put that on the back burner. You need to write about this. He said, because this is really big, and I really, really get it for the first time in my whole life, and this is so simple. Why haven't we been teaching it like this all along? He also had a 20-year-old daughter, and so it was an epiphany for him when he read it.
Right.
And so that's then again because of that, I thought it would be very quick to write, but it took again another 7 years. And it's because the information kept coming. I just kept getting more and more downloads. I kept getting woken up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning with an amazing amount of information that had to be written.
When I read the book, it tells me that you have to look through the book in the sense of we are looking through the lens of love instead of the lens of fear.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That's beautiful.
Yeah, because our lives are governed by two separate but equal forces. Love and fear. So it just depends on how you want to look at things. I think that 7 years of labor of love that you have put into this transformed the book, the intentions, everything in the book is out of the aspects of looking through the lens of love. And perhaps in the sense of doing that, that will help you to overcome the fears that you face.
No doubt about it. Gosh, that's so gorgeous. I haven't heard anybody describe it that way. But yes, it's absolutely true. What we're really looking to do here is we're looking at the best in people, because everyone I know really wants to have a good and peaceful life. I don't care how radical they get, how mean they might get towards somebody else, but I find that everyone I know really wants to find peace and love in their life without getting, again, too woo-woo about that, but they actually really do. And when we look at what's really good in a situation and how we can actually choose love over fear, then things do fall into place. The universe, so to speak, does provide, and things and doors do open up, relationships mend. And I think that this is an area that needs such healing. It needs such healing for women, and it also helps the men to feel healed around the whole thing. It's just time for us to look at really the gifts that are in everything and all the opportunities everywhere that we have to look for love rather than, right, as you say, you know, feeling the fear as we go through life and everything.
Right. So how does the system work in terms of the various weeks and so forth? Can you give us a wonderful snapshot of the various weeks?
I'll give you a snapshot. The first thing that I like to do so that everyone can relate to it is I want to talk about every rhythm in the universe generally has something that looks like these four phases. There's a resting phase, a building phase, an expression phase, and a deconstructing phase, and back to rest. When we go outside in the morning, we'll see that flowers have been closed up and they're just starting to open, and then later they're in full on bloom, and then at night they start closing back down again and stay closed, and then until they go through the cycle again. We all, men and women, both have a 24-hour circadian rhythm. We have this body rhythm where we sleep at night. That's the resting phase. We get up in the morning. We're building our energy and our organs. Everything's starting to come alive in our bodies. By afternoon, we peak, and at night, we wind back down, and then we go back to sleep. And we may do that a couple of times during the day if we take a nap or something like that. But that is a natural process, and we don't make the same decisions in the morning that we make at night or vice versa. At night, if some big decision comes our way, most of the time we're not going to make the decision right then unless we have to. Oftentimes, you know, we say, well, I want to sleep on that. We want to give it time to sort of run through the different cycle, the different phases of the cycle to make a decision, to make a good decision. Well, here's the thing is that women are no different throughout a month's time. So we all have this 24-hour circadian rhythm, but then women have this the same exact rhythm during a month. So if we break down the approximate 28 days into four guided weeks, then we have the resting phase, the building phase, the expression phase, and the deconstructing phase, and back to rest. And it's really no bigger than that.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So then I take those phases and I identify them with fall, winter, spring, and summer. I identify them with the new moon, the waxing moon, the full moon, and the waning moon. And then I have archetypes, actually have 12 archetypes, three archetypes per phase to walk everyone through so that you can just really begin to understand this sequence. It's the sequence of the whole thing that's so important, because when women start aligning with this particular sequence, they start really getting very rapidly how one week prepares for the next. And then they start understanding that they are rhythmic beings and need to start looking at eating rhythmically, exercising rhythmically, and making decisions rhythmically, no different than any of us make decisions throughout a year's time. For instance, we're all familiar with the seasons. No matter where you live, you understand what the seasons are for your area, and you compensate for those seasons every single day. We look outside. Let's say right now it's spring here in the Northern Hemisphere. And we look outside, so we know we're in spring. And then we look outside, and we know, by knowing that it's spring, generally we know, well, it could either be warm outside or maybe it's still a little chilly. And so then we decide, we compensate for the day by deciding what we're going to wear. Are we going to wear shorts? Are we going to wear, you know, long pants and a sweater? You know, that's how we compensate, because our bodies are always trying to balance to balance itself for our comfort. And so when women learn how to balance themselves for comfort, it's not some crazy thing that they have to do. Compensating is not a compromise. It's really just keeping ourselves comfortable. And it's actually understanding which tools we need. We've been getting thrown out. The way that we've been taught to deal with our cycle is that it might be winter and we look outside and it's snowing, and nobody ever taught us that, oh, look, it's snowing and you need to put on some really warm clothes.
So you
end up being uncomfortable all day. You end up freezing all day, or, you know, whatever it is. But we're really this is what we're actually really talking about. We're talking about getting out of the crazy language that's been laid on us and really getting back to what's real here and what's healthy and what is mentally healthy for women as well.
Very interesting. Well, the book certainly makes one think about one's body as a very intimate connection in terms of our very well-being. I mean, our body can tell us a lot of things. And this goes for men and women. Sometimes we don't pay attention enough to the cycles of our body. The idea is that our body can tell us a lot of things. And many a times, people that get sick just doesn't pay attention. They are signs, they are symptoms, they are signals that our body is telling us, but we somehow have those antennas turned off.
That's right. That's right. And I love that you're talking about, you know, our antennas. You know, I mean, I really think that we do have this internal and external radar where if we would just simply be open to that and be mindful and really start listening and paying attention instead of just doing so much, instead of trying to just control everything and override all those signals. When we start paying attention to those signals, our bodies are telling us how to get into alignment. And I think the spiritual world around us is showing us, is giving us opportunities every second of the day to get in alignment with what's real and healthy.
Right. How to optimize yourself every day.
How to optimize, yes. Right.
Wonderful. So let's talk about the first week. What happens during the first week?
So the first week is the resting phase. And because the hormones are at their lowest at this time, a woman who is a cycling woman would start tracking. And tracking is everything with this system to begin with. And then eventually you just have it, and you don't need to track so closely because you mentally are always tracking. But a cycling woman would start tracking on the first day of her period. If she's a non-cycling woman because of hysterectomy or postmenopause, then I would have her track beginning with the first day of the new moon, because this is not a rhythm that we lose after menopause, yet we're told that we're finished after menopause, basically, and women begin to feel very invisible. But in fact, we still have a rhythm. It's not quite as big. The waves aren't as big, but we still have this rhythm. And when women start tracking by the new moon, it's not that the moon has a big effect on them. It's just that we start telling our minds, we start reminding ourselves, we start telling our bodies that, no, you're not finished. You know exactly how this rhythm goes. And it helps for, again, our own bodies to get back, you know, to just stay in that rhythm. So during that first week, for cycling women, though, this is the blueprint of it. The cycling women are, you know, they're on their periods. And so what that means is that the uterine lining is shedding. It is, we're getting rid of the old cycles. Uterine lining is really what's happening. So our hormones are at their lowest, and so we need to lay low, we need to rest, and women are not really resting enough. Women don't rest much at all. They're overworked, they're overwhelmed, and they are not encouraged to rest. So what this does is this gives women permission to rest, and I ask if they have a male partner to understand that they need to rest and encourage them to rest. Now, it doesn't mean they're sick. They can still go to work. They can still run the marathon if that's what they've signed up to do. They can do any of the stuff. It's just that it's about being mindful. And after you've finished work or after you've finished that marathon, I'm asking women to just be mindful around what they're doing next. Don't go on that extra errand. Don't go out for pizza and beer afterwards. It's really time to be mindful about yourself and taking some time to rest. Go home and sit down on the couch, or even just close your eyes for a few minutes and meditate for a few minutes. When women aren't resting, it's no different than you or I not sleeping at night. And we all know what that can do. I mean, you know, we all need sleep. But women aren't resting at this crucial time. And when they don't rest, it screws up the rest of the month. It screws up the rest of the pattern. Also during this time, when we do rest, then all of a sudden we're getting our best ideas. We're getting our best visions coming in. And that's a natural thing for all of us. If we rest well, then all of a sudden our minds are rested and good ideas come in. So this is a really kind of a planning phase for women, that when they're really paying attention to what's going on, they'll notice, if they rest well, that they start getting their very best ideas around their entire, you know, what's next. What's mm-hmm. next for themselves, for their family, for their business, for the global view of the world.
Very interesting. So how about the second week?
So the second week, oh, and by the way, I call that first week fall because
right.
It is an end and a beginning. I identify it with the new moon, and I it's harvest time, and it's as if the tree is shedding its leaves. All right, so that's fall. The next phase is winter, and what happens here hormonally is that, in a really super broad sense, the hormones are going from 0 to 100 here. What happens is that, as women, we are actually construction zones. I mean, we actually build a uterine nest to prepare for a pregnancy if we desire to have one, and if no pregnancy happens, we deconstruct that nest over and over and over again every single month for over 40 years of our lives, minus pregnancies and nursing and hysterectomies and that kind of thing. But that's what we do over and over and over again. So during this second week, our hormones begin to build that uterine nest. And because we're building that uterine nest, we are building our relationships. This is our estrogen and testosterone are building here. And when we're building our estrogen is a real feel-good, loving, romantic hormone, and so is testosterone, actually, for women when it's mixed in with the estrogen there. And so what happens here is we kind of love everybody. This is the week where we just really need to be getting out and connecting with our friends, with our family. We're attracting at this point. This is like the waxing moon. And primally, this is where the primal wisdom comes in. Primally, we are trying to attract a mate. This is the purpose around our cycle at this point. Whether we want to be or not, with or without us, our primal bodies are attracting a mate. So this is the time that I ask the partners to clear their calendars and go on dates. If they've got a male partner, then I just tell the guys, look, just, you know, this is your time to really connect, to really co-create the relationship you've always desired. The first week, again, I've asked them to help encourage their partner to rest, and that is such such an aphrodisiac for women. The second week, I have them court their partner, you know, ask them out on a date, go out and play. I have couples have heart-to-heart talks during this time.
Right.
Women are somewhat sexually intoxicated during this week because they are, again, trying to attract a mate, and they want nothing more than the light of their partner to come toward them. There are a lot of, we don't have time to get into it, we don't have time to get into all the layers of all this stuff and all the shadow things that can come out of that, but let's just say this is a very romantic week. Contraception needs to be in place both the first and the second week if you don't want to have a pregnancy. There's a lot of mindfulness that needs to go on around this week. But it's a really fun week. It's kind of the party girl week in a way. But it's really up to her to really, you know, do all this tracking for her to be in complete control of what she's choosing to do. And but it's a super fun week, and she is growing in beauty. Scientifically, she's growing in beauty because she is, again, primally attracting that mate. There's a doctor, Dr. Rebecca Booth, who wrote an entire book on this week, and it's called The Venus Week. And so I continue with that that idea. I honor what she's written by calling it in my book The Venus Week, based on her work, because it's really true. It really is the most romantic time. It's the most beautiful time in our cycle. We are turning into goddesses is what's really happening during this week. So it's a time for women to also not only be building their businesses, connecting with their friends, but it's also time to really be, you know, dressing up and doing, you know, just having fun with that.
Right.
You know, having fun with your look. Yeah.
Certainly. I mean, you feel outward and onward.
Yes, outward and onward. And it's a time of becoming. I mean, spiritually, we're really talking about becoming the light. There are so many layers to this. If we're really looking at so much of this cycle, so much of this rhythm, so much of this navigational system is also a deeper layer of it, is shedding what no longer serves us and uncovering what our gifts are. So as we go through this second week. This is such an opportunity. And because we do this over and over and over every month, we have lots of opportunities to refine it. Every month we have a chance to get rid of more of what doesn't serve us. Every month we have an opportunity to uncover what does serve us and what our gifts are. And I see this spiritually as the week where we're also becoming the light.
Mm-hmm.
Like the waxing moon, we are becoming the light. There are just many, many, many layers to dive into within this rhythm that we have the opportunity to explore.
Wonderful. How about the third week?
So the third week I begin with ovulation. I liken it to the full moon. I mean, this is our full expression. We're in that full expression phase. And we are magnificent creatures at ovulation. No different than going out and looking at the full moon. We're coming up to the full moon. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, or you know, I'd need to look. But when the moon is full, I don't know anybody who doesn't want to look at it, who doesn't want to stare at it, who doesn't feel awe when they see that full moon. And that is women on ovulation right there. I mean, we are in full goddess mode, and I probably write more about ovulation than anything else in this book because I kept getting downloads about this, how multi-layered this is, how incredible this is. And it's so incredible because ovulation, when you think about it, the primal wisdom behind ovulation is that when that egg drops down, and if there happens to be a sperm that is there to greet it, that meeting of the sperm and the egg is the most primal, the most primordial thing that could happen, and it's happening within a human body. I mean, that's kind of mind-blowing right then and there. So it's really the most primal thing we can do, but it's also creation. So it's the most spiritual thing we can be doing. I mean, there is this earth-spirit alignment that you find with ovulation like you don't find in any other way in the universe. As women, we are the human source of creation, and that's a pretty big deal, and it's something to be honored. So, but you know, we don't. That's if we, you know, if we're actually good with creating a pregnancy right then. You know, we can also prevent that because then we've got our minds to be able to tell us whether that's a wise thing
sure.
to do or not. But anyway, we've got ovulation. We could get into a lot of layers with that. But I just love this time, and I talk about it a lot. And after ovulation, that's really only about a 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. And so after that, we still are in week three. While our bodies primally are waiting, it can take up to 7 days or something for that. If there is a fertilized egg, it takes it many days to attach itself to travel and attach itself to the uterine wall to tell us whether we're even pregnant or not. So while our bodies are hanging out and waiting to see if anything happened, we're really kind of sitting high. Our estrogen has begun to drop, but our progesterone has jumped into action, and our progesterone is a really great feel-good drug also. And so we are really at the top of our game here. We are sitting high on our thrones. And if we have a partner, then this is a good time to really have the mind-to-mind talks. This is the time to talk about, to be observing, or for yourself, what's going on with your money, where are you living, what's going on in the world, and really, really seeing what is going on in the world and knowing exactly what to do about that. This is a really wonderful world leader time. And women are world leaders throughout the entire cycle. But again, we're talking about optimal times to be making decisions and to take advantage of those times. So this would be sort of an earth mother, earth leader phase that's just spectacular. And then once the body figures out it's not pregnant, that's when we enter phase four. That's when we enter week four.
Fantastic. And let's talk about that, because that is the week that often we all misunderstood one another.
For sure. This is the week that we know of as PMS and premenstrual syndrome. And I get rid of that concept altogether unless a woman is truly suffering. And there are a lot of women out there who really go through a rough time during this week. And that's something that they work with their health practitioner on, and looking at their hormones and all the things. But this system can help them too. For everyone else, I call this week the fire walk because it's actually a real survival time. It's a time to to actually kind of take it on as a ceremony in a way. And the thing that happens here is that because the body has figured out that it's not pregnant, primally it has figured out that it's not pregnant, now we need to deconstruct that uterine nest. It's no longer needed to protect pregnancy. So we have to deconstruct that nest. And while that deconstruction happens, that means we lose our progesterone. So now we're losing our two good field drugs. We've already started losing our estrogen. Now we're losing our progesterone. And everything is breaking down. We can compare this week to being in labor. Let's say if a woman was pregnant and now it's time to birth the baby, she's in labor. Mm-hmm. And what happens here is that the body is putting everything into position. It's pushing and pushing the baby into position, and the body is kind of breaking down in order to do this. And a woman doesn't want to be touched. Everything's trying to push its way out, and so stimulation coming in is just too much. And we don't call labor a syndrome. So this particular week is kind of like a super mini labor in a way. Our body is breaking down and preparing to purge that uterine nest the following week. So this is the week of preparation. But while the woman's body is kind of breaking down, while her drugs are breaking down, while the uterine nest is sort of deconstructing, everything is kind of trying to push its way to the edge. So everything feels on edge. I compare this to summer, like it's the hottest day of the year. And we all know how we feel if it's the hottest day of the year and we can't find shade or air conditioning. I mean, all anybody can talk about is how hot it is. And we really don't want to touch anybody. We don't want too much stimulation coming in because we feel a little irritable. This is the same for women. So much is trying to push its way out, and we need for others to actually understand this and give us a break. What's also happening is that because we're in survival mode, we're also, while all this stuff is breaking down, we're also hanging on to our values and principles because we don't want those to get washed out with everything. We really turn into mama bears at this point because any threat that's going on in our lives, for instance, if something happens with money that week and, again, we're in the process of sort of being in survival mode and everything breaking down, If there's an issue with money, then all of a sudden that's a threat to our survival, and it's a threat to our children's survival. And we are just not willing to compromise that this particular week. We're not really willing to compromise our values and principles this week. We really want everybody around us to have their act together. We don't want to have to teach anybody anything during this week. We've already taught them. The second week is the week that we love everybody and we're teaching and we're sharing and we're doing all the stuff that week. We have to be careful to not overdo it in that second week because we can set ourselves up for this fourth week where we've taught everybody that we'll take it on when, in fact, this particular week we don't want to take it on. And we want them to already know how to do it. So this is a time where I ask women, as far as their tools go, to balance themselves, to compensate by, first of all, acknowledging themselves of how amazing they are, to know that what they feel is valid, that any anger or tears or anything like that that's coming out is valid information, and it's handing us a gift about what's really going on in our lives, and to write that all down. This is not the time to take it out on other people if we can help it, because we just need to understand what's happening and to really, again, you have to be focused. You have to be mindful. You have to see it for what it is. And I call things like when we feel like bursting into tears or yelling at someone, I call those hot spots. And before that happens, to really notice it and honor it and say, oh, my gosh, I see what this is. I see this is my body breaking down, but I see that these are gifts being handed to me about what my issues are, what I need to take care of, what I need to be mindful about, and write them down. And then you can address them during the other weeks. You can address them during the weeks where you're really feeling the love or where you're really feeling the mindfulness. This is the time to just be good to yourself. And just like the waning moon, you're starting to go inward. And so just take these things inward. I ask partners to not leave during this time, and don't be arguing and talking to the woman like she's a threat. The idea here is to just do what you say that you're going to do. If you've been saying that you're going to clean out the garage, you know, for all this time and you're not doing it, get in there and be cleaning out the garage during this time. Do the things that you said that you're going to do. Show up in the way that you've always said that you were going to. Show up as the teammate and give her some space and take some space yourself, but stay focused. And it can actually turn into, over time, after some practice with this can turn into a beautiful summer day. I mean, this week can become a really great day for a couple, or great phase for a couple. But it's a real time to honor and to not be agitating, not be arguing and things like that. Because it's just not helpful. When we understand how amazing women's bodies are and what they go through, it's time to really show some honor here, and then to take that into take that in internally, and then that takes us back to the resting phase.
Very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How does this system apply to women who have experienced menopause?
Well, so the same thing would happen. She would follow these same phases and follow the same guidance. It's just that she's not experiencing the body issues that a cycling woman feels, but she can still use this navigational system to rest during this resting phase, to give herself, you know, to really apply self-care, take a lot of bubble baths, read a lot, sit and meditate, get your better visions and your ideas. During the second phase, get out there and be more social. Add romance to your life, you know, do all of those things. During that third week, express yourself. And I will say that one of the things that ovulation time teaches us, now, you know, the non-cycling women are not ovulating, nor are women who are on birth control pills, by the way. The women who are on birth control pills have a different cycle. They have these same four phases. It's just that they don't ever reach that height with ovulation because the birth control pill prevents that. On the other hand, they may still feel the romance and the sexuality because they have the confidence that they're not going to be pregnant, so they don't have that kind of stress. You know, there's a give and take with that piece of it. But but the women who are non-cycling, when they hit that, the postmenopause women, when they hit that phase that would be ovulation, this is the opportunity to look to see if they are showing up with authenticity. This is, ovulation represents the moment of truth. Are you showing up in your full expression with your gifts, with who you really are? So there's so much symbolism that we can use to really bring out our best purpose. Why are we here on this planet? What are we here? What is our best expression of love, not fear, as you so beautifully pointed out? What is, are we really walking our purpose? Are we really walking who we are? Are we still walking who our family told us that we needed to be, that society told us that we needed to be? Is that who we really are? This gives everyone a chance to really look at this. And then the fourth week is the chance to really do the problem solving. What's going on in our lives that really needs some attention? And where do I need to go back to the drawing board? What's not working? What do I need to shed in my life that no longer serves me? And, you know, so this whole cycle can be used as a symbol to continue to navigate our life. And for postmenopause, again, if we've gone through the natural phase of menopause, we've been doing this cycle for over 40 years of our lives, so our body knows this very well. And if we don't abandon it, then we can use it to our advantage.
Wonderful. You have written extensively about men in terms of giving the men the guides and what they should do and so forth during the different phases. So let's talk a little bit about that. Why would men want to get in sync with this whole system?
Well, the main reason that they'd want to get in sync with it, I mean, the thing that I talk with men about first and foremost is the rhythmic sex drive of the woman that they're with. And it's because all of a sudden when I enter the, when I bring the conversation to them that, when they can understand the rhythmic sex drive, men start paying attention because this is the door, you know. I mean, most men will perk up and start paying attention and asking great questions, because this is how they can first start relating to it. Then everything else unfolds. Then they start seeing how they can co-create so much, and they can co-create a terrific relationship with the woman in their life, the relationship they've always desired. But if I start talking about sex to begin with, they can relate to that, because it's where they can either feel the most successful, or they can feel very unsuccessful in their relationship. You know, if they feel like they just can't please the woman in their life, whether it's day-to-day or whether it's sexually, pretty soon both parties are unhappy. And when they start understanding that they can be super successful in this department by understanding that the woman is rhythmic and that her sexuality is rhythmic, what that means is that women like a variety. What is sexual to women, what is an aphrodisiac to women, is different than what it is to men. I mean, again, for instance, during that first week, if the man is just cool, if he's encouraging her to rest, if he's rubbing her feet, if they're sleeping skin to skin, if he's following her lead as far as sex goes, if he's not just constantly having an expectation of, you know, that it's the same all the time, and it's got to be this steady burn, and this high steady burn that he has, basically, if he can actually realize that he can kind of have it all by following her lead with what it is that she likes and the variety that she likes from phase to phase, he can completely get in sync with that, and nobody has to be lacking in having their needs fulfilled. But they really do need to understand that women do not have the same rhythm, the same sexual rhythm as they have. I would like to say, Johnny, that also science has begun to show that over the years, research has shown that men's hormones have the same four phases, only it goes through a year's time, so that the men would follow the four seasons of a year. They wouldn't necessarily align with the four seasons, but they have a resting phase in a 90-day or a three-month phase, and the next three-month phase would be a building phase, the next three-month phase would be an expression phase, and the next 3 months would be a deconstructing or problem-solving phase and back to rest. So men can also, in another way for themselves, by following the rhythm of the woman, they can start understanding what their own rhythm is and just spread that out into a year's time, so that men follow the sun, women follow the moon.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What I like about it, again, it's what you're looking at here is, are you looking through the lens of love when looking at your partner? When you do that, you address all those quote-unquote fears that you have.
Beautiful. It's so true. When we look at each other's hearts and intentions and what we're made of, you know, what fear can drop away, and we are really looking at love. When we focus on love, then everything starts, the fear falls away.
So true. What is the most important takeaway about the cycles and the four seasons in 4 weeks?
I think the very most important takeaway is to understand that women are monthly rhythmic. They are lunar rhythmic beings. I think that's number one. And number two, that what I would say is that it's important for each and every woman to track where she is at. It's important throughout her entire life that she, throughout any given day, know what day of her rhythm she is on and what that actually means. And this is tracking for reasons beyond fertility. We're talking about tracking of physical energy, sexual energy, mental rejuvenation energy, a beauty cycle, a communication cycle.
Very
interesting. So the two takeaways are rhythmic and tracking.
Very interesting. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, your retreats, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Thank you. If they go to my website, which is 4s4w.com. And if they go there, they can pick up a free poster that lays out these four phases. It's a digital download, so you'll need to print it out or just bring it up on your computer, but it'll show you the four phases. Go to my website and grab that free poster. And I've got events, I've got retreats, I've got a live retreat coming up in Oregon. I would love for your listeners to sign up for that and come on out to Oregon and spend a few days with me. I would just love that. I've got an online course coming up, and to just keep up with everything that's happening, 4s4w.com.
Wonderful. How has your work with Four Seasons in 4 Weeks impacted you personally over the years?
It has helped me by getting in alignment with my natural rhythm. I've had more clarity, more direction. And let me tell you, Johnny, I've been a pretty empowered woman my entire life. It's not like I've been some real meek and mild woman.
Yeah.
I've been an empowered woman, but by actually getting in alignment with this, it's just kind of supercharged everything, my clarity and my direction and really finding my purpose. And now I feel I'm really living my purpose. Once I found this alignment, everything fell into place.
Very interesting. I would think also the fact that you are empowered by nature in understanding the cycle, you know when to kind of hold back.
Oh, completely. It's all about that ebb and flow. It's all about that ebb and flow and seeing what it is. It's like going out into the ocean and seeing which direction the waves are coming from. Instead of turning our backs to the ocean where the waves can come and knock our feet out from under us, and that's the way women have been taught, I'm asking women to turn around and look at their personal ocean, and they can see whether it's high tide or low tide. They can see how to get out into the ocean and start feeling how wonderful the water feels and start understanding when to jump over a wave, when to dive under it. And pretty soon they're going out further and further and learning how to actually ride a wave and feeling how exhilarating that is.
Very interesting. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Oh, gosh, I would say that my recipe for living, Johnny, is exactly what we were talking about, is looking at the love. I mean, we have choices every second of the day, and I feel like I do. I feel like I'm being presented with opportunities every moment. And when I choose to see them, if I have a moment where I'm struggling, where I'm feeling negative, where I feel like there's no hope, I'm now stopping myself and saying, no, where's the love? Where's the opportunity? What is really good? And I'll come up with 10 or 20 or 100 things that are going well in my life. I turn and say, what's going right? And when I start seeing what's going right, the other stuff falls away and I find my direction again. So I would say that's my recipe for survival and really loving my life.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful recipe. What is next for you?
What's next for me is just immersing myself more into this work. I'm getting emails from women and men all over the world who this work is resonating with and who want to do more of the work. So my job right now is pumping out more stuff, more good stuff. All the time. I'm asking women men and women are asking me for the girls guide. They're asking for coaching. They're asking for coaching because they want to coach this work. They're asking for individual coaching. They're asking for online courses. The men are asking for coaching. Couples are asking for coaching. And I love it. I love the retreats. I love working. I love people. So I love helping them to get in alignment with finding the love in how their life can work in by finding this rhythmic alignment. Yeah, thank you for asking.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Suzanne, thank you for the great recipe for living you had shared with us just now and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Bruce Davis. Bruce is a best-selling author and is considered as one of the world's leading authorities on the gifts of silence and living a simple life. Bruce and I will be discussing his latest book, The Love Letters, St. Francis and St. Clair of Assisi Meet Pope Francis. The book bespeaks the deep love of God, man, and nature. For more information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Suzanne, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again and have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too, Johnny.
Thank you. Bye-bye.